Welcome everyone to the Developing Successful Farmers podcast. My name is Christy Powell. I'm an extension educator based in Lehigh County covering ag business growth and development. This is the first podcast in a series that we are doing starring farms from our Starting and Improving Farms Twilight Meeting series. And we are at Buttonhead Farms today.
Hi, I'm Linda Falcone. I'm an extension educator out of Wyoming County, and I work with new farms, leadership and entrepreneurship.
And I'm Ashley Raspin. I'm the owner of Buttonhead Farms.
All right. Ashley, thank you for meeting with us today. Can you tell us a little bit about your operations and how you got started?
So back in 2019, I wanted to have a business. I was a fitness instructor for years, probably about 12 years now, teaching fitness, and we had a few chickens. I really loved going to auctions and being around animals and talking about animals. We started getting peacocks and guinea hens until the guinea hens stopped traffic every day. So we got rid of those, but we were always, I was just always really intrigued by having a farm. And we had a very, very small piece of land up at our old house. And then we moved down to this home where we have a lot of acres. And I decided I wanted a goat. And we had a very dilapidated barn at the time. And my husband thought I was crazy because I have these epiphanies a lot of just getting these random things. And I wanted a goat. And we cleaned out the barn. We took a couple $100s and we got a dumpster, cleaned everything out. Previously, there was a horse in there from my sister-in-law many, many years ago. And this actually used to be a farm back in the day, like originally. And my in-laws had horses. And then everything kind of died out. There was nothing going on, no farming going on. Everybody had, you know, corporate jobs. And I really wanted to bring farming back to this place.
So tell us about the different aspects of your business.
So we do the goat yoga. We travel a lot doing the yoga events at different universities. We do schools. We do a lot of corporate team building. The community, when there's a problem, they usually call me and I come in and I help them through their problems. So I do a lot of team building. We do a lot of different organizations that bring us in through the yoga, and we also do goat therapy. We work with a lot of programs for autism, so we help them, you know, with job experiences, and they'll come to the farm and we'll teach them how to get a job. So we work with those organizations. We also do weddings, so I officiate weddings and I do them with the goats. I actually had a goat yoga wedding, which was very exciting. We got them married and then we jumped right in and did a goat yoga class. So that was really cool. They came and it was from somebody that did my class years ago and remembered me and called me and said, hey, can we have a goat yoga wedding? So every avenue has been built by the community. So they call me and they say, hey, like just like weddings, it was a client that said, do you want to marry us? And I said, sure. And so I did that through COVID. I couldn't do anything. So we started a farm market because I wasn't going into grocery stores to buy my food. I was going to local farmers. I'm big into supporting locals. And so I would travel over an hour to get produce. And then we brought it to our farm for people to come and safely gather and get produce. I'd go out there and pick it with the Amish people and we'd have the farm market here. But even through that, we had different vendors come selling their products because they weren't able to sell anywhere else. And then we had a musician come to us and say they have nowhere to sing. So we built a stage and we started doing farm concerts and vendors were able to come and they were able to sell food and their crafts, and because there was no place else to sell them. So it was giving people an income that at that time couldn't have an income. So wherever we need to be is where we need to be. They call us.
So that's a great example of how you can aggregate different farm products and bring them here and get them to people and start a real sense of community on your farm. What are some of the other things you did?
We partner with a lot of local businesses and we go to their business. And when we go, we bring a whole tribe of people with us. So then they stay, they drink, they eat, and that brings them business. So everything around my business is helping other businesses. So it's just not us. We're in it as a whole community. And then we also do therapy. So we do goat therapy. And it's just a beautiful release. People could just relax with the goats.
Great. Great. Was it your original concept to do yoga, goat yoga, when you started, or did you think you were going to do something else?
I was going to originally get meat goats. I was going to get a herd of meat goats and I was going to breed them. And we were going to have a meat goat production is when we started Buttonhead Farms.
And how did you get the name Buttonhead Farms?
My husband.
Does it have a particular meaning?
So my husband and I are oil and vinegar. We butt heads a lot. People think it's about the goats. It's really not. It's about my husband and I. So we butt heads a lot. And we were just sitting on the couch. And I actually never saw myself having a business. My husband was kind of pushing towards a business. And he was like, let's start, you know, by getting a name. And I just honestly wanted a little sign in the front of the house that said a name, like a farm name, like, cause it was cute. We had an animal now. We got a goat. We had a goat. Wanted to have a little farm name with our chickens and stuff. So he came up with Buttonhead Farms. I thought it was really weird at first, but now it's perfect. Definitely perfect.
It definitely is. Who did you go to when you wanted help when you were starting the farm? Where did you seek advice?
Actually, you. I called, you know, the Penn State Extension, started trying just asking a bunch of questions. First, I went to my accountant to get the name, you know, to get that formulated. And my accountant said, no. He said, no. He said, I'm not getting you a business. And he's like, no, keep at your job where you make $20 a class and keep doing that. It's good. You know, and I was like, no, 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 we really want to have a business. And he's like, no, he regrets it. No, he does tell me, he's sorry he told me that, but I pushed and I was like, we're doing this. We're going to have a farm business.
So what are some of the positive aspects of farming that you found?
Positive aspects of farming. It is really a great feeling when you take, I go off the farm a lot with the animals and I go to a lot of universities and it's people that have never saw a goat, held a goat. They get to experience something and it is the smiles. When I capture those smiles, especially on the camera, I look back and they're like, it's magical. It's their faces during the events. And what I do, I make people escape reality. And it's amazing. I never in a million years thought I could do what I'm doing right now. And it's when they come inside my fencing, they forget about the whole entire outside world. And that is what makes it special.
So you started out really thinking you might do the meat goats, but you ended up doing the yoga with the goats and you've had a great deal of success with that. Tell us how you kind of came to that and how you've built that over the past couple of years.
So I worked at a gym. I managed the group exercise department in a gym, a local gym, and I got paid peanuts. We were not making any money. We were living paycheck to paycheck and everybody became obsessed with this goat that I brought home from an auction, a little baby goat that I completely overpaid for. It was the last goat at the auction to go. And I paid $290 for a male milk goat that my husband said, don't buy any goat. Make sure it's a special goat. Make sure it's a female goat. Make sure it's exactly what we're looking for. A little like Nigerian dwarf goat. I brought home a Alpine goat that is really big. And a male yet. So I brought home a male goat and he was really mad at me, but it was the cutest little goat. It was in this little dog crate with a bottle. I had a bottle feed it. But coming up to that auction, I was just educating myself all about goats. I knew nothing. I came from the city. So I was not educated, but every time I would get something, I would go 100% in YouTube, just constant books, book reading on, you know, when we got into poultry. I brought home a Polish rooster and I knew nothing about chickens, but I had to do all the research. And I just like, every day is a new day to learn something new. So every day I would go and seek more in, like my brain just wants to take in more every single day. So with the goats, I just wanted to educate myself. So every day I researched more about goats. Love this goat. Everybody in the gym became obsessed with the goat. So when I go teach my classes, they wanted to know all about the goat. So this one of our clients, she was almost 90, I'm going to say. She came in with this picture from a magazine and it had a goat on the lady's butt. And she goes, "You do this. Do this." And I'm like, I don't know. And I was going to actually originally partner with a local yoga studio to do this business. And the lady offered me half. She said, because I knew nothing about computers, events, doing events, selling tickets. I knew nothing. Like I was a fitness instructor. I'm not very tech savvy and I'm more old school. I have a lot of Amish friends and I live a lot in the Amish communities. I love them and I like their ways. So I'm not very savvy, but she was a strong personality. And she said, you know, I'll take half, you keep half, you do the events, I'll sell the tickets. And my husband said, if you partner with that woman, I will have nothing to do with this business. Thank the Lord I didn't do that because I wanted to. It was like the me not thinking I could do this. I was just going to be like, okay, take half of everything. I'll come with the goats because I had the goats. She didn't. She had the business side of it. So I said, all right, well, if he's not going to help me, I'm not going to go against him and go partner. So I kindly told the lady, no, I'm going to try this on my own. And that's where it went. It went.
So it's been about 3 years that you've been learning to do this, building your business, maybe 4 years now?
4 years since we got the business name.
Okay.
The first year in business, we were in the red because we were going to go into meat goats. We were completely broke year one. Year two is when we started Buttonhead Farms Goat Yoga.
And what do you wish you knew then that you know now?
The word no, I wish I said no more. Back in the beginning, I said yes to everything and I was completely exhausted and drained because I was too fearful to say no to opportunities. The one time I overbooked myself and I was supposed to be in a wedding in Ohio and then I was supposed to be into an event in Lewisburg the next morning. We literally drove to Cleveland, drove back during the middle of the night after the wedding to then get in the car and go to Lewisburg to do an event. And it was exhausting. We were so exhausted. And it was just me like so fearful to say, you know what, this isn't going to work. No. And I was just taking on so much stuff on my plate. I never said no. I took everything on.
So how did COVID impact your business?
Our business, that was our best year in business. We were an outside venue where it was safe to gather. And we got really creative with the ways because all of my university contracts went up into flames. Everything got canceled. My wineries got canceled because we weren't allowed to gather. So everything, then the gym I was working at also, because I actually did the gym and the business because I was too fearful to leave that gym job because that was a permanent, you know, income, like a regular income. So I was too fearful to leave that because when I first started the business of the goat yoga, every single place I go, people ask me when the fad, you know, wears out, what are you going to do? And I'm like, geez, I just started my business. Why can't I just enjoy this? And they're like, well, what are you going to do when it dies out? And I was like, they would really irritate me because it was like that negative, you know, energy. And I'm like, is it going to die out? You know, I don't know. And
well, so that's one thing when people don't portray that positive image of starting your own business and doing farming. What are some of the other negative aspects that you've run into?
Dealing with the public is rough. You're dealing with, like, we do a lot of events, and you're always going to have, you know, we do thousands and thousands and thousands of people in a season. You're always going to have that, like, oh my gosh, this email, you know, that you have an unhappy person or somebody that is a little outrageous. So you have to deal with the general public, and sometimes it's not rainbows and unicorns. Weather was a huge issue for us this year. We had a concert scheduled in May. It was a complete washout. So when you have, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars in porta potties sitting in your field, and you have to get those in advance, and you have your insurance and everything lined up, and all your bands are lined up, and you have all your tickets already sold, and it's sold out, you have to make that decision. Are you going to cancel or go for it? Well, when you look out in the field and there's a couple inches of water in your field, you can't have people coming into your farm. So you have to make the hard decision to cancel. And then people are very unhappy. When things aren't perfect, they're unhappy. So you have to deal with, you know, customer service and weather.
So can you tell us a little bit about exactly what you farm and the different aspects of your business, how revenue streams come in for you?
So I farm happiness. I do not provide a product for people other than helping their mental health, and I provide them to escape reality. So when they come to me, I take them to a different place. I let them forget all about their problems of the outside world, and I bring them to escape.
And what are some of the ways you do that?
Escape reality. I make them, so my events, I make them do things they'd never thought they'd do in a million years. And during my goat yoga events, whatever you think goat yoga is, Mayan is something incredible. It's absolutely incredible. It's unique. It's my many years of fitness that I blended into this class. So it's not just your average, like, namaste, like everybody sit in a pose. And, you know, these goats also have been raised by me, trained by me. So they are not a yoga instructor being paid to be brought in, you know, for a class. People are starting, competitions starting to pop up. People are starting to pop up with goat yoga. But from the people that come to me, they say, yours is nothing like theirs. And I said, it's because they're hiring yoga instructors to come in with these goats that have never even been around people other than the owners. They're scared to death. They don't know what they're doing. Our goats are trained and they're continuously socialized with different organizations that we work with.
So how do you begin to train a goat to perform?
Linda, I can't tell you all my secrets. Okay. It's my secret sauce.
Well, I do know that when I went over to the pen, they came right over to me. So they were very eager to meet me. So that
they love people.
Yeah, you could tell that. You could tell they were very well cared for and very interested in people. How do you think it that and the events that you do help with mental stress and mental health issues?
I just allow people to forget all about the outside world, and making them do things, the way I interact with people, the way, like, I can't even explain it. When we get into class, they don't expect what's going to happen. And then I teach them, and we could break out in Beyonce and start spanking ourselves.
And they keep coming back.
And they keep coming back because, you know what, they're, you know, especially when you get older, it's people get more serious and they don't do fun things anymore. And it just, all of a sudden you look out in a crowd and there's 85 people dancing to Beyonce and spanking themselves and having a good time. And they forget about everything in the outside world, and it's cracking jokes. And it's, I'm going to tell you, people think they're coming to this serious yoga class when they come. It's entertainment. It's a big show. It's getting people to do things that they don't typically do.
So
it's an unforgettable time, Linda. It's unforgettable.
So who does your marketing for you?
Myself.
And so all,
I've been approached by many, many people that want to do my marketing for me. They want to charge me and they want me to hand over all their marketing. People from all over, Virginia, you know, Philly, they want to take on the business marketing. And I actually thought about it before I opened up for the season this year. A lady sent me, you know, a proposal, and I couldn't do it because my marketing is what I want it to be. The people know it's me. If somebody else was marketing for me, they would know. I am not the most perfect speaker, the most perfect poster. I am not the most perfect at anything. I am perfectly imperfect. I'm flawed. And I'm a human. I just told the bus driver the other day, I'm like, I'm a human, okay? I'm a little late today. I'm a human. Give me a break. So they would know. And I actually put a post out there about it. And those people said, Ashley, if you didn't do your marketing, we would know. And it wouldn't be authentic. Everything in my business is 100% authentic.
How did your business evolve to the several avenues of revenue streams that you have?
I let the community write my business plan. So I'm not the most organized person. I am not the most, like I said, I'm not computer savvy. I'm not that, thank God I have a great accountant. He takes care of everything for me. But I am not that person. I'm more about in with the people, talking with the people. And I allow the community to write my business plan. So whatever the community is needing, I go in there and I fill it. You know, people, a lot of organizations, they will call me and they will say, I have this problem. I need you to fix it. And that is like, I don't cold call people. I did it year one when I needed to start off the business and I hated it. I hate cold calling people. I cannot stand it. It wasn't in my blood. It made me uncomfortable and I don't do anything that makes me uncomfortable. So now, after we started off and everything grew, now we're to the point where just people contact us. So wherever we need to go is where we go.
So after year four, what are your goals for the upcoming years for the farm?
I would like to say I want to grow. I want to grow in different ways though. You know, right now I'm really stuck. I can't grow anymore because there's only one of me and people want me to do the shows. They want me to teach the classes and I'm only one person. So that has been really hard to grow more since there's only one. I wish I could duplicate me so I could send off more trucks and more people to go out and do events. But right now I'm really just stuck here, but I'd really like, the at the farm events to grow and eventually down the road to grow this name where my business could be taken over by my kids.
So when you have events or you're taking the goats out, what's your biggest concern about having people on the farm or dealing with the animals?
Always safety. You're dealing with a lot of strangers coming to your home. This is my home. We live here. We always have to be ahead of the game. So we always have to sit back and be like the negative thinker, like what could happen? What could this person get into trouble? Like my dogs right now started digging holes all across the farm. So those are holes somebody could fall into. You're also having where there's so many different varieties of people here. Honestly, my biggest concern is always about fighting. I don't want people to get into fights. That's why we hire a really good security team to come in and handle that. And we've always had great times. There's usually maybe one here or there, you know, we have an issue we have to deal with. But mainly everybody that comes here are strong supporters. Even if somebody like at a concert the other day, they were throwing butts on the ground. That's a safety hazard for my goats. It is the worst thing for me to have to pick up the next day. I can't stand walking this whole property for cigarette butts just because somebody's lazy. And people will come to me and say, hey, I just saw Joe Smo over there. He's throwing his butts down. I went and yelled at him, but make sure that, you know, and I would go over there and make sure he's cleaning his butts up. And so everybody here always like looks out for each other, you know, and they'll let me know if something's going on or if somebody tries to sneak in, you know, everybody's always looking out for my back. But it is a liability. You're having a lot of different types of people here. Then you have animals incorporated in there. People also bring their dogs here. That's another, you know, next step liability. And even your vendors are coming. And one vendor one time left a cord, an extension cord out, and a lady tripped on it. Well, that lady tripped, and all day, that's all I could think about is her, you know, having a broken ankle or something. She has ice on it. You know, those things are always in the back of my head. And you really have to watch out for your, you know, it's your home, it's your farm, it's your animals. Another thing is people with your animals and the safety of your animals.
So I'm sure you've made sure you found a good insurance agent to help you with all of that.
Yeah, we have a broker.
How did you build your marketing presence from being, you said you made cold calls initially. How did you build your marketing presence?
It was people coming because we started off with just starting a Facebook page. Then we grew, I think we have, we're close to 9,000 followers on Facebook. Instagram, we had to get a little bit savvy with that Instagram. We have a pretty good following on Instagram, but TikTok is like the new age marketing. And that, we had a couple videos go viral and I had over 12,000 followers like in a few days, which when I look back at Facebook, it took me 3 years to grow 9,000. And in maybe 3 days, I had over 12,000 followers. So, and you always have to be up with the times. If I stay on Facebook, I'm only reaching those people. And a lot of people are going off of Facebook now. So you have to constantly be watching, you know, where the people are at. Universities, those kids are not on Facebook. They're on Instagram, TikTok. TikTok, you could hit the whole world and they'll find out who you are on TikTok. So you have to find, you know, you have to keep going with the times and keep revolving.
And when you first started doing events here, the weddings or the concerts, did you have to have any zoning issues resolved?
So we're zoned. Well, we have a bad neighbor. Everybody knows about the bad neighbor in the world right now. So, when you start making money on your property, your neighbors may have liked you because we never had any problems, you know, until we started making money on our property. And that's when usually your neighbors will stop liking you. Not in all cases, but in our case, that's what happened. A neighbor moved out from the city up to here and just clearly doesn't like us. And he tries to cause us a lot of trouble. But thankfully, we have so many supporters and amazing people that support us. We just keep pushing through.
And those people would, you would say, are mostly previous customers.
Yeah.
You mentioned you weren't really good with the computers. How did you begin to get a hold of your record keeping and tracking the business side of things?
You just got to learn. You got to learn every day something new. Actually, I have a friend that was amazing with accounting and she was amazing on the computer. And I would ask her to come over for coffee and I'd ask her just to help me. And she was amazing. I would make her a cup of coffee and we'd sit down and she would do all the bookkeeping for me. And she was just a best friend. We don't have any employees. People want to come here and they want to hang out with us. So they volunteer. People come and they want to help us out. So they come help us.
So back to the mental health. I know that you do some work privately with people or with groups. Can you tell us a little bit more about how the goats are you're using them specifically for mental health and where you might want to take that as far as a business?
Well, goats are very non-judgmental. Like they love everybody. They don't not, well, they, you know, some people, they don't, they usually can tell your vibe and they just love people. They come and they hang out. When you're hanging out with them, the people become obsessed with them. Like, this is like, they know their name. They know everything about them. They're dying to come back to see them, you know, and the goats will lay with them. And they, as they just pet them, they have all their stress just melt away.
Well, any closing thoughts for someone who's thinking about starting a business, especially a unique farm business like you do, the agritourism kinds of things that you've focused on that are a little non-traditional? Any thoughts you might share with them?
Whenever, if you're thinking of this and you're going to have people that don't believe in you, you're going to have the haters, you're going to have people that, you know, say no, you're going to have a lot of no's. We had a million no's, you know, like even bookings, they were like, you're nuts, you're insane. But there was more people that said yes than no's, you know, and to really hold on to those yeses, take it day by day. Don't get discouraged. You're going to have days you get discouraged, but try to just keep pushing forward and, you know, build a list of goals and just keep trying to reach those goals and push past the no's and reach for your goals. You have one life to live, and live the best dang life you could possibly live before you die.
Well, I've watched you over the last 4 years, starting from your conceptual stage through developing it into a real business that worked for you, using your strengths and learning all the different things that it takes to run a business on a farm and care for animals and deal with customers. So it's been an amazing journey for me to watch you succeed. So it was a pleasure to talk to you today.
Well, I'm glad to have you guys.
Thank you
for visiting Buttonhead Farms.
Glad I've made it.
Thank you.